Once upon a time, a king led an army into battle. He won the battle, soundly defeating his enemy, took their possessions as his own, as the spoil of that war, and victoriously marched home, only to learn that he was a complete failure. He was a failure because he had not done what he was commanded to do by God. The king is King Saul. We read about him in the book of 1 Samuel, and we find there that even if he had brought the things back as an offering to God, it is better to obey than to sacrifice. Obedience. It seems to be a very rare commodity today, but it's the subject of our lesson as we explore God's truth for the world.
The Churches of Christ bring you Truth for the World. And now, Paul Meacham, Jr.
We're very happy that you've decided to join us today. It's always our privilege to study God's Word together with you. We trust that you're making Bible study part of every day of your life. And I know that I say that at the beginning of each program, but we cannot possibly over-encourage you in your study of God's Word. It is only by knowing what His Word says and by doing it that we can be saved in the end. So we do encourage you each week to study God's Word. We are happy that you set this time aside to study with us, as it is always our privilege to study with you. If you do join us regularly, then you know we have begun a new study about 2 weeks ago of looking at five secrets of living. Now, these are not secret things in the sense that God doesn't want us to know them, or that they are some type of mystery that must be unlocked with some long-lost prophetic key. Oftentimes you hear about these things and when you're talking about Bible matters. But rather, we consider these to be secret things because they are things that all people seem to search for, yet oftentimes God's answer to these questions goes completely unnoticed. We began our study by saying that the secret of living is bearing fruit. Our text comes from John chapter 15, the first 15 verses, and we learn that there's much more to living than merely being alive. We asked ourselves how much fruit I should bear and how can I bear fruit? Because bearing fruit is a sign of being healthy and vital. It's an indication that we are spiritually alive when we bear that spiritual fruit. Last week, then, we looked at the fact that the secret of bearing fruit is abiding in Christ. Now, if we want to be alive and the secret to being alive is being a fruit bearer, then we need to know how to bear fruit. Well, the way we do that is by remaining in Christ, by being firmly grafted into Him and staying in Him. By doing so, we will be able to bear fruit for the Master. We learned that abiding is very important, for if we leave Christ, we cannot possibly be saved. We asked ourselves, what does it mean to abide in Christ? And learned that it means to stay no matter what. No matter what happens to us, no matter who tries to pull us away, we will not be drawn away. We stay with Christ. We also looked at the fact that oftentimes we need encouragement to abide in Christ, and that others around us who are trying to do what's right also need encouragement. We should be there to provide that encouragement for them. We asked the question, how can I know that I'm abiding in Christ? The answer is, when His Word is living in me. When it's no longer words on a page, but rather it is something that dictates how I live every day of my life, then I know that I'm abiding in Christ. We continue our study this week by looking at the secret of abiding in Christ. And the secret of abiding in Christ is obeying His Word. Now, that may be an oversimplification to some, but it really is that simple when we accept what the Bible says. If you are in Christ and you want to stay there, how do you do it? You stay there by being obedient to Him. Well, how do you get into Christ? You get into Him by obeying Him. In Galatians chapter 3, beginning in about verse 26, Jesus told us that ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Both here and in Romans chapter 6, Paul teaches us that the way we move into Christ is by being baptized into Him. That's the only way to enter Christ, and it is only by obedience to all of His commands, one of them being baptism, that we enter into Him. Well, how do we stay there? We stay there by continuing to be obedient. Obeying in order to abide in a certain state is a fundamental law of the universe. is easily and clearly seen in almost every area except in the area of religion. Take the matter of being healthy. In order for a person to be healthy, he has to obey the law of nutrition. For example, he must eat the proper food, he must eat the food in the proper amount, and he must eat them at a regular and proper interval. If you do those things, then you can remain healthy. However, if you don't do that, if you disobey those laws of nutrition, then you sacrifice your physical health. Look at an airplane as it flies through the air. In order for it to remain in flight, for it to abide in that state, it has to continue to obey the laws of aerodynamics. As long as those laws are obeyed, an airplane with many hundreds of people in it can fly. But if you violate those laws, that plane will fall to the earth. We must abide by the law of flight in order to remain in flight. Take a real simple example of a child who hangs from a tree limb. Gravity pulls down on that child with a force that's equal to his body weight. As long as he holds on to that branch with a grip that is strong enough to counteract that force pulling down on him, he hangs from the branch. But as soon as he releases his grip, or it weakens, then gravity takes over and pulls him to the earth. Why? Because that's a law. And as long as we abide by the law, then we can remain in that state. Now let's take those same things and apply them in a spiritual sense. Because obeying to abide is also a fundamental law in the Scripture. Consider first with me some examples of those who were disobedient. If we go all the way back to the beginning of time, we see Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. We see them placed there, and in that garden, God provided for all of their needs. He also gave them a law to live by. In Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 2, we find the serpent comes to Eve to tempt her away. And when he told her to eat of the tree that she had been forbidden to eat of, the woman said, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." You see, from the beginning of time, God gave man law. And as long as man lived according to that law, he could remain in God's favor. Adam and Eve were given the Garden of Eden as a home. They had access to the tree of life. But when they became disobedient, they lost that access. We find later in Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 23, that God sent him, the him being man, sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. As long as man was obedient, he could remain in that garden where God had placed him. But when he became disobedient, he could no longer abide there. Obeying to abide is a fundamental law in Scripture. Consider the nation of Israel and the land that was promised them. God first made a promise to Abraham all the way back in Genesis chapter 12. That promise, the promise of the land, was not fully recognized until the book of Joshua. But through Moses, as God was preparing his people to go into that land, he tells them in Leviticus chapter 26, beginning in verse 27, "And after all this, if you do not obey me, but walk contrary to me, then I also will walk contrary to you in fury. And I, even I, will chastise you seven times for your sins." The land was promised to them, but if they sinned, then they would be chastised by the Lord. And part of that chastisement would be losing the land that they had been given. In verse 33 of Leviticus 26, he says, "I will scatter you among the nations, and draw out a sword after you. Your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste." The land was theirs, but it was not theirs unconditionally. Rather, they had to continue to obey in order to abide in the land. Obeying to abide is a fundamental law of Scripture. Consider Saul, who we mentioned earlier at the very beginning of the program. He was given a throne, but it was not a throne that lasted. Oh, it could have been. It could have lasted forever, but he forfeited it because of his disobedience. Notice, if you would with me, 1 Samuel 13, beginning in verse 13. Samuel the prophet says to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." Saul was king of the nation, in fact, the greatest nation in the world at that time, but he did not have an everlasting throne because he gave it away. He gave it away in disobedience. We need to understand that when we disobey God, we also forfeit the blessings that he offers to us. Obeying to abide is a fundamental law in Scripture. But let's look at the other side of the coin, if you will. Look at those who were obedient, those to whom God made promises, and they lived obediently. What happened to them? We've already seen the calamity of those who disobey. But what about those who obey? First of all, we'll notice Abraham. We mentioned that God promised great things to Abraham. Well, what happened? Did Abraham obey? And if so, did he receive the things promised? Well, the answer to both questions is yes. In fact, at one point, God commanded him to do something very difficult. He commanded him to take his only begotten son, this being the son of promise, and he commanded him to kill him. Now, to you and to me, that seems very strange and very harsh. But he had commanded him to kill him as an offering, as a sacrifice. Now, we know from the record that Abraham obeyed and was in the process of killing his son when God stopped him from doing so. He had made the sacrifice in his heart already, and God simply stopped him from carrying out the action. In Genesis 22, beginning in verse 15, "Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you. And in multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice.'" Obedience brought great blessings to Abraham in his lifetime, but it also brought great blessings to his family after him, and eventually the entire world was blessed through the Christ, the seed of Abraham. So God did keep his promise. God did exactly as he said he would do, because Abraham was obedient to him. Abraham obeyed, and therefore was able to abide in the promise that God had made to him. Consider one other example, if you will, and that is Caleb, also from the Old Testament. Caleb was one of the 12 spies who was sent into the land. He came back with a good report. Even when the multitude of people wanted to go back, even wanted to kill him for the report that he gave a true and honest report. God is with us. God has given us the land. All we need to do is go up and take it in faith. But we find out that because he gave that good report, God made a promise to him. Notice, if you would, Numbers 14, beginning in verse 24. "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him," this is different from those who were unbelievers, "and has followed me fully," you see the obedience, "I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." Now, unfortunately, we don't have time to read all of the passage that tells us about the promise being kept. But in Joshua chapter 14, 35 years after the promises made to him, we now find the 85-year-old Caleb coming to Joshua and saying, "I've been obedient. I've been faithful. It's time for me to now receive what has been promised to me." And he did. He went up and he took the land that God had promised him, even fighting off those who were giants of that land, and took it as a possession, and it belonged to him and to his children. Because he was obedient to God, God gave him exactly what he had promised. He received that land as an inheritance. We know that God will give to those who obey him exactly what he has promised. And the same is true today. It's been true in the past, and for all those who are obedient today, we have the same assurance that God will deliver to us the wonderful blessings that he has promised. In 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 16, we read that all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away. Don't look for your treasures and your blessings in this world. They're temporary. The earth passes and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. See, God has promised us not just great treasure and great blessing, but he has promised us life, everlasting life, eternal life. And the one who is faithful to God, who loves him and obeys him, will abide forever. How is this possible? It's possible because Jesus has that power, the power of life. We noticed earlier in our study, and we reiterate, John chapter 11, beginning in verse 25, Jesus speaks to the sister of the dead man Lazarus and says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me, he shall never die." I ask you the same question he asked her. Do you believe this? Do you believe it? I hope you do. The promise is made to us. If we will obey, we can abide in Christ. But obeying requires learning. It's not possible to obey something that you haven't learned. You see, obedience is a conscious act. It is a decision that we make. I have this opportunity. I have a decision to make. I have decided I'm going to be obedient. You cannot obey what you don't know, and you cannot know what you have not learned. Therefore, learning and knowing are absolutely necessary in order to obey. Till next time, this is Paul Meacham, reminding you that God's Word is the truth for the world.